Conversation about the coronavirus seems to be everywhere, but what is the most effective way to communicate important health information to the public? Professor Janet Yang at the University of Buffalo has some thoughts on the matter. Among her research topics, risk communication. She joined us earlier by phone.
I'm delighted to be here.
You'd suggest that you want to keep the communication about coronavirus clear and simple. You don't want people to be alarmed. Take us down that fine line, the difference between taking it to a point of being alarming and just keeping it simple.
That's indeed a fine line. I think a lot of us still remember vividly from the Ebola situation, where a lot of Americans were really in a panic situation, but it wasn't really a huge crisis here domestically in America. So I think with coronavirus, what we're seeing in the U.S. right now, first of all, the situation is still developing. So I think there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of, you know, fear and scare. But I think it's important from a risk communication standpoint to keep the message simple and clear to the public because of that uncertainty. So I think everybody obviously is paying attention to this important public health crisis. But in the meantime, what we really need to tell the public at the moment is what to do, how to prepare themselves, and how to protect, you know, themselves and their loved ones. So I think, indeed, it's a fine line, but I think clear communication is probably the best recipe when there is ongoing panic in the public.
In this piece that we received from the university, it says researchers who study risk communication have found that comparing risks is not always effective.
So the argument I made is really based on a classic study by Paul Slovic that came out in 1987. So he argues that the way that people think of risk, it's not just based on numbers and statistics. It's not even only on perceived likelihood or susceptibility. So the idea is that people think of risk in many different ways. It's not just how likely I'm going to get sick from this particular disease, but a lot of this perception is really influenced by media coverage, especially in the early days. There was a lot of news from China, and we see how rapidly this particular outbreak developed. So there's a lot of very emotional reaction to this information. So the reason why we shouldn't compare risks to each other is indeed because of that, because people think of different risk topics, different disease outbreaks in many different ways. So when we draw this kind of comparison, the intention might be to, you know, tell people this particular outbreak is not as terrible as SARS or Ebola, but by simply linking those things to each other, we have no way of predicting how people are going to understand that information or process that information. So risk comparison basically is this idea that a lot of time, in from a, you know, a scientific standpoint, right, we're hoping people can understand what exactly is different between one outbreak and the other, but essentially we have no way of controlling what type of interpretation people are going to make out of this comparison.
Interesting that you cite a study from 1987. One of the key differences between 1987 and today, of course, social media. Also in this piece from the university referencing a situation recently where the Erie County Department of Health issued a statement and tweeted in response to some widespread false information that was being spread about. Take us through that situation.
Yes. In the age of social media, I think many people, probably myself included, has this natural tendency of wanting to stay on top of information, but also tell other people about things that they have encountered. So, you know, this kind of desire to be an opinion leader in a particular chat group or a particular social network, I think it's a very natural inclination that a lot of people have, which is indeed why in, you know, in a crisis situation, we know that misinformation spreads very quickly on social media, much faster than traditional media or face-to-face interpersonal communication. So in this particular scenario, it's even more important, I believe, for people to check their sources and to really verify the information before they send it out, right? A lot of time, because it's so easy to do, you see something, you send it to a group, send it to your family members without checking that because, oh, this sounds really interesting, this sounds very relevant. But that's how rumor spreads, exactly, because people do not necessarily spend the time to verify the sources and even the information itself is even credible. So this particular situation was, I think, about almost a month ago when the situation in China is still very much in, you know, in development. There was information on YouTube claiming that there have been confirmed cases at a local hospital here in Erie County. So a lot of people are sharing that information widely. I've seen it probably 10 times in a day. So that's when I think the Erie County Department of Health immediately responded and clarified that this is false information. Please do not spread it further, and offered reassurance, basically saying that there haven't been any confirmed cases at the time.
And that brings me to my final question about this. And you also write how it suggested to build trust through transparency, experts and government agencies need to keep the public informed on the development of coronavirus in the United States to maintain trust. Now, clearly we have seen public officials very much in view in the last few days. I'm just wondering, from somebody who's a communications expert and who also is maybe taking a larger look at this whole situation, any sense of anybody inside of this whole discussion that maybe bringing politics to it and perhaps making things worse or more difficult because of politics?
Yes. I don't want to point fingers at a specific individual, but I think a lot of the concern right now is, where do we draw the balance between reassurance and eliciting fear and panic, right? But going back to this whole political situation, I think we've seen a lot of national leaders making a lot of irresponsible comments about this issue, right? Predicting when it's going to end, for example, or comparing it to seasonal flu and say it's really not a big deal. Obviously, this is something that all of us should be aware of and take precautionary measures without panic, right? But I think if we've totally fall into this, you know, this is a hoax, it does not exist, that's really not the kind of response or a responsible information to tell the public, right? So for sure, I don't really want any disease outbreak to become a political issue, right? And because that's really the worst way of dealing with a public health crisis.
But there is that kind of natural tendency, and today you get back to social media and such, there is that sort of natural tendency, right? Are we seeing that? Is that a fair assessment, that it's become kind of almost its own sport, for lack of a better term, the back and forth when it comes to these types of things?
Yes, I think that's really unfortunate. It's also very U.S. specific. I think we have this, you know, natural habit almost in this country to convert everything into a political thing. And that's really unfortunate, right? So I think we're starting to see that, and I really hope it does not go any further, because disease and all, you know, viruses, they kill everybody and anybody equally, right? Everybody has a chance of being affected. And also related to that, in the early stage of media coverage, I think we also see a lot of racist comment on national media. You know, I can think of a lot of different examples blaming China or people in China to say, oh, they are responsible and they caused this disaster that's affecting the rest of us. So I think it's important to keep in mind this particular outbreak happened in China, which is really unfortunate, but it could happen anywhere. Right. So I think it's also important to keep in mind this type of rhetoric or language in popular media to avoid it, you know, blown out of proportion even more than it has already been.
Well, Janet Yang, I appreciate your thoughts here, most certainly helping me out for sure as well, and hopefully helping our listeners out. And thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome.